position of thou, my first conceit, say I, was I Sanyam, express first my thanks to good friend Kowalski for a generous introduction. Secondly, broadly speaking, to express my gratification at being here is and in your community. This is my first appearance here in the community, but I have here not only Dr. Kowalski, but a number of close personal friends, former neighbors, and Dr. Kaveri, who formerly went to Yeshiva at the same time that I did, and certainly it's a source of gratification to be here with you and be able to renew old acquaintances and friendships. We're now in the midst of a week bounded by 2 days. Past Shabbos, Parshas Racho, and the end of the week, Purim. These are, in one sense, of course, distinct dates, and yet they are both of the halacha. Parsha Zohar is that Shabbos which is preceded for it. And secondly, substantively, in terms of the theme which unites them, very much linked. Both are generally speaking related to this concept of Zechina, the emptiness. And it's with that concept that I want to concern myself this evening. I want very briefly to discuss it in more narrowly halakhic terms, and then try to say something of Zechina in broader terms, in reference and machshavah. The source of the mitzvah of Zechida with reference to this particular remembrance is of course the pasuk near the end of the Seitzei, which we read this past Shabbos. Zochor es asher osa lecha amolek v'adelech b'tzeitzkem mitzvah. We are enjoined to remember that which Amalek did to us en route as we left Mitzvah. And the Torah goes on in the next passage to detail just what it is that Amalek did, came upon us while we were in transit, and snuck up, smoked those who were lagging behind, while the community at large, tired, weary, and he feared not for the Ben Ishmael. And is this attack, the enmity of the Holy, that we are commanded to read? However, unlike other mitzvos, which are set forth not merely in general terms, but for which a very specific format is described. Here, the Torah makes no mention whatsoever of what specific form, if any, the fulfillment, the kiyum of this mitzvah needs to take. Just what is it, practically speaking, that a person is obligated to do? The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, when he sets forth the mitzvah, clearly says, again speaking more in general terms, the mitzvah saseh is the positive commandment, lizko tomi ma'as of aroyim ba'alibaso, or as another reading would have it, ba'alibaso. It's the positive commandment to remember always his evil deed at his ambush or at his enemy. Shenema is written, Zoko is a shmosor of Abom. If Yeshua Londu, tradition instructed us, this means Zoko bepeh lo tishkoch b'lev. Remember verbally, forget not, those are the two words that are emotionally in your heart. But how one is to remember what is to be verbalized of this? We know only that kind of vague or amorphous awareness, a kind of very loose, inarticulate frame of mind, which might constitute zechira b'lev, we remember only in our hearts, this does not suffice. One must give expression, one must articulate, one must somehow assign a specific content to this zechira. But what exactly is this content? And how does one go about it? The Rambam remains as unclear as it is in the Pasuk. The Rambam, in his commentary on this very verse, the Rambam wrestles somewhat. After quoting the text of the Tehillim to which the Rambam refers, namely that in which we are told that zechira must be verbalized, must be bepeh, we must say something, he then goes on to say, "V'lo yodati manhe zechira zos bepeh." I don't know. What is this verbalization? Im lemo shenikra parsha samolek b'tzivu. Does it mean that we are to read a text in the Torah concerning Amalek in public, a kind of communal public ritual? In which case, Nimtzinu lemeidi min haTorah b'shniya zochor. That which it says in the Mishnah concerning the Arba Parshios, four Shavosim, more or less bound up with the month of Adar, we read various texts, Shkolim, Zohar, Paro, Chodesh. And the Mishnah there states the second of these, Pasha Zohar, Mishniya Zohar. If we are to give this interpretation that Zohar requires reading a Pasha publicly, then we would conceivably have a deraita source, a biblical source, for this halacha, the Mishniya Zohar. And moreover, says the Rambam, if this should be the proper interpretation, then v'yi yismach v'mikva megila min haTorah. We would then have a kind of basis, not in a fully explicit source, but nevertheless a basis for the reading of the Megillah as being a deraita commandment. Of course, in one sense, it is only a drabbanon, a rabbinic commandment, because the series of events that are portrayed in the Megillah naturally occurred long after Matan Torah, and therefore could not be regarded as a specific mitzvah deraita. However, while the specific content is in this case the rabbanon, because the events themselves are of subsequent historical origin, but the notion which is represented by mikra b'tchila, namely that one should narrate a series of events which describe the confrontation with Amalek, and do so publicly, this would then have a deraita foundation, if this interpretation is to be accepted. But the Rambam is uncertain about it. From the Rambam, for instance, it would appear that there is no specific text to be read, certainly no public ritual to be able to take it.
The only thing one must do is apparently recite, discuss the notion, the concept, the history of Amalek and our confrontation with it. And conceivably, Rambam thought, this might suffice, naturally. But then he goes on, and having thrown this out as a possibility, the Rambam, as he very frequently does, first presents one or more alternatives, and then goes on to give that which seems preferable to him. But not on the inside, that which seems correct to me, Shehu Lomar, that this pasuk is intended to tell us, that we dare not forget that which Amalek did to us until we have succeeded in eradicating his memory. And we are to narrate this to our children, to subsequent generations. No matter have to tell them, thus has the evil one done to us. Therefore, we have been commanded to fight him. Now, this formulation, the emphasis is not on public ritual per se, nor upon the reading of a particular parsha from the Torah, any fixed text. The emphasis is rather upon a certain process of transmission. First, of narration. Just to recite a couple of psukim, but to tell the story, to flesh it out, to give a rich and detailed account so that we should know and our children should know just what transpired, so that they can get a sense of what the enmity of Amalek means, so that they can understand what is both the historical and the philosophical basis of our confrontation with it. This is to be done not merely as a process of tefillah, as a functioning mention, but of narration, sequel, weaving tales, telling the story, so that the sense of what this confrontation is all about, what does anything mean, the danger we face, and the responsibility of the mode of coping with it, so that all of this becomes critical. We have then three alternative formulations of the halacha. What it is that the mitzvah of Zocho, in its most specific halachic sense, requires. Either simple verbalization, whatever its form, or a more public statement, evidently the reading of the parasha from the Torah, or thirdly, the narration in detail, particularly the transmission to future generations of the story of Amalek, its history, and its present life. And so far, we've been dealing with Zechila at one level, in its narrowly halachic sense. And moreover, with reference to the past. And in this narrow sense, to the content of the Torah, the Torah does describe a series of past events. What happened then, that has to take place. And certainly, this reference to the past constitutes a prime sense of the term Zechila. We speak of memory, of remembering, of recalling. The past event. Certainly, zechira in this sense, as historical consciousness, a sense for the past. This is a very central aspect of zechira. And zechira in this sense constitutes, of course, an aspect of human existence which is perhaps unique to man and represents something of his own particular capacity and accomplishment. One of the most celebrated soliloquies in Hamlet references made to man as a being capable of looking for an answer, of remembering, glancing back retrospectively, and of planning possible. This kind of zechira is, of course, differently motivated and variously performed. At times, it is motivated by a desire to look back, a romantic nostalgia, to an era or to personal recollections, which are bound up, at least as viewed through the prism of memory, with a very pleasant, even at times with a kind of a golden age. And sometimes, out of the web of crisis, and one looks back to adolescence, childhood, tries at times desperately to adhere to a reality which at one time seemed so comfortable, and which now, in comparison with my own much more complex present, seems like a dream which can be fresh even when it's a mere shadow, and to which, therefore, I want to continue to be very much attention. This is one mode and one motive for zechira of the past. One which has deep literary expression. This century, of course, most vividly associated with the French writer Marcel Proust. Remembrance, things past, Shakespeare's phrase, being central motive force behind so much of his work. But zechira, attachment to the past, need not take this attempt to freeze the past and to put oneself in a position where I can somehow adhere to a congealed past as something which is so congenial and so warm. I want to keep it exactly as it was, unchanged, unadulterated, perceived, warm, encased in certain veins. There is a second kind of historical consciousness which looks to the past, but recognizes the need to relate that past to the present, and which sees the present very often as a kind of filter through which that past has a proper perspective to perceive. The very definition of poetry, Wordsworth once suggested, is emotion, recollected in tranquility. Remembrance of things past, to be sure, but as deflected or distracted through the present, a good deal of the froth and the excitement which attended the original event, a good deal of this has been skimmed off, and I can relate to that past in terms of that which is central to it, and which therefore it communicates now to me. But still, we are yet dealing with Zechira, with remembrance, in historical sense, as historical consciousness, awareness of the past in its own right, and the past in relation to the past. Certainly, this Zechira, awareness of the past, is a tremendous moment within our Jewish world. Our whole reality is very much grounded in certain specific past events. And we are constantly trying to recall those events, not as a kind of archaic reality, but as something vivid, something real. We reenact Yetzias Mitzrayim. We reenact Churban HaMikdash. We are enjoying every day to have a fresh sense of Matan Torah. Anochi nosen lifnechem hayom, Chazal say, b'chol yom, every day, you ought to regard the Torah being given. Yom yu be'necha kachadoshim, they should strike you as being novel. And the Ramban explains this commentary to Chumash and Sefer HaMitzvos. The Ramban contends there is a separate mitzvah to remember Matan Torah. Not just to know the Torah was once given, to recall the event. Beware and watch your soul very carefully, lest you forget those things which your eyes have seen. Of course, the words are addressed to the generation which left Egypt. And lest they depart from your heart at any point of your life. What? That day upon which you stood at Sinai and heard and saw divine revelation. Yet, this kind of zechira, central, fundamental as it is, does not suffice. When we speak of zechira, in the second sense, not only the kind of historical consciousness related to the past, but the kind of existential consciousness as an awareness of the present, as a mode, as a way of relating to my present situation. But the Torah speaks, for instance, of Zochor es Yom HaShabbos Lakadsho. Remember the Sabbath day to make it holy. What does that mean? I should remember that there wasn't some time in the past the Shabbat. Of course not. Not a question of having forgotten that there was Shabbat. We are enjoined there to take heed of Shabbat, to take note of Shabbat, not to ignore it, to look around to see that it's here. And once we note that, of course we say, we're conscious. It has nothing nothing to do with that. Concerns our present, our immediate context. And what the tefillah in this sense entails, not so much memory, but remembrance in terms of perception, and above all, sensitivity. To be aware. The opposite of the tefillah here is not forgetfulness in the sense that I have forgotten that which I read last year. Not just oblivion of the past, but rather obliviousness, ignoring the present. It is shikha in terms of hesech hadas, looking away, indifference. And a Jew is commanded to be a zocher, to remember, not just have a memory bank, but to see, to take note, to be sensitive. And this sensitivity, this existential consciousness, this awareness, has a very specific dimension. The tefillah, with respect to the present, requires not merely kind of intellectual awareness, but an empathetic relation, to feel, not merely to see the present. When the Torah tells us, for instance, Vayizkor Elohim et Noach, Kol Asher Ito Bateva, what does that mean? Vayizkor reminded himself that Noach was on the table. And before that, he forgot the Chas V'Sholom, he did not. He related to it. He felt for it. Took mercy upon it. And he acted upon it. The Pasuk tells of Yisrael Elohim es Rachel. Rachel was being barren, was remembered by the Ribono Shel Olam. This is the opposite of forgetfulness and intellectualness. Means again, he have a yachel felt for him, took mercy. The Navi says, Ave Yachili Ephraim, Yelichar Shuim, Mide Davi Vozokhanos Kiranimo. The Bershom says, In Ephraim, or is not then Ephraim, a dear son unto me. Playful child, the child of play, that at his very mention when I merely find his name, I merely talk about him. I am Zoche. You talk about something, you remember it, you know about it. When I talk about it, my mercy wells up. This is what Zichronos in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is about. Not just
Upanishad remembers in the computer sense, oh yes, there's that too. Upanishad remembers all I said. Atta zochir ma'aseyola. This is not the kind of zikaron for which we pray. This is not the kind of zikaron for which we offer praise, zochir abris. He who remembers the covenant. A pasuk which concerns zikaron l'raa, which somehow addresses itself to any kind of misfortune, this the Gemara tells us is to be excluded from the corpus of the tefillah zikaron. Chodos and Rosh Hashanah, be remembered with mercy, with fondness. The Bundish role of lady. So that if we speak of Zechira, if we are commanded to remember, speak not only historical consciousness in respect to the past, we speak likewise of existential consciousness, of awareness in relation to the present. We speak sensitivity of empathy. And to what are we enjoined to be sensitive? What is it that we are to feel? What kind of zechira are we commanded to perform, not only with our head, but with our heart, with our blood, with our bones, with our entire being? Of course, unfortunately, one level, what we need to perceive, and woe to us if we forget, what we need to feel is the presence of Amor. Would that it were otherwise. So long as we are surrounded by him, so long as he, for his part, maintains an adversary pose, so far as he retains, that is, the character of Amalek, of the Din of Kut, the Chayla, the Shulei, the Lord of Amalek, all these are the people. But so long as he remains Amalek, then we are enjoined to remember. But not just to remember a tale several millennia ago. Not just the story of Shekocha Maderech, what happened en route from Yitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, that's part of it. But we've got to remember Amalek as a present reality. To be zocher not only historically, but in terms of the present. To remember not just those isolated events, but their subsequent ramifications. The relation of that to our present situation. And to remember it well. As the Ramban says, not just to recite a couple of sukkim, but shenisapel avoneinu dorotzeinu, that we know where we stand. That we wish, and wish desperately, that we stood elsewhere. That we did not have to confront our Lord. That we could commit ourselves exclusively to the pursuit of peace. But if Amalek is our doorstep,
time, got to respond. We have to remember not only the historical sense mentioned here, the way he snuck up on the laggards and mowed them down. But to remember likewise the sense which is described fully at the conclusion of Parshas Shalach. So those who call about Sefer, write down as a remembrance in the book. So that everyone should know. Divine confrontation with Amalek is perpetual. It's part of present perceived reality. Not just an anachronistic anecdote. So this is one thing which tragically, unfortunately, we have to remember. We can wish as desperately as we would, and we do wish, if things were otherwise. We simply devote ourselves to spiritual pursuits, to building the better and richer world, nothing but positive and better. So at this point, that will be a very expensive lesson. But of course, we are not Chas v'Shalom totally sensitive to our mother. We do have, this is our strength, we do have more positive than we are sensitive not only to the composition of our molech, but even more, we are sensitive to Klal. We feel, we remember our Jewishness. We perceive what it means to be part of this historical and present and future community. We feel a sense of oneness, of organic unity with Klal Yisrael. We feel its overarching presence. We have our pulse upon its values. One of the byproducts of the war in Eretz Yisrael has been, I believe, a much keener sense of zechira, of remembrance, in this sense. People have begun to feel, and this I think includes large segments of the community often thought of as purely secular, begun to feel their Jewishness much more true. I'm asked here occasionally by people who I suppose engage with some degree of wishful thinking whether it is indeed true, as some people have reported to them as they read the papers, there's a kind of religious renaissance in our society. And they've heard of soldiers putting on steel, and they heard of the shortage of potato. They like to be told that all of a sudden there's been a drastic change. I wish, I really do, that I could accommodate this kind of desire. But if in speaking of a kind of spiritual renaissance, in asking that kind of question, if we mean, has there been a dramatic upsurge in Shmiras HaMitzvot? Can we expect a radical restructuring of the whole system of education? Is it reasonable to anticipate a major shift in orientation in practical terms? I'm afraid the answer is no. Of course, there have been some surveys. The contact with many soldiers in this respect is very, very moving. And here and there, it has immediate practical results as well. But this, of necessity, I'm afraid, on a limited basis. What I think does exist on a much broader scale is what I described before, the sort of perception of the very special quality of Jewish existence. The feeling that somehow being a Jew is distinct, is different. And the sense that somehow that difference has to do with spiritual quality. Somehow it can be formulated, if at all, in spiritual categories. There's a much sharper awareness of one's relation to Jewish history. Being so close to the eye of the storm, living in the shadow of danger, this has given us a much clearer sense of what our age-old history of suffering, what that has meant. We stood closer to the vortex of the storm, the present. We felt ourselves drawn to the matrix of Jewish history that spans the ages. Moreover, again, even Jews whose orientation is not religious in the narrow sense of the term, many of them have begun thinking less in terms of Medina Israel, the Middle Eastern geopolitical entity, and far more in terms of Knesset Israel, as a spiritual, and therefore in a sense, as a universal community. This is no doubt due in part to the awareness and the sense of gratitude, the tremendous role which is played by world Jewry, particularly by American Jewry, in the time of our crisis. I think American Jews should know that in El Yisrael there was tremendous awareness of, great appreciation for, the role which world Jewry, and yes, specifically American Jewry, played. I'm speaking not only of great generosity which manifests itself at times, but equally of the sense of empathy, the sense of zechila, of being remembered, which we experience there. The anxiety, even the terror, grip one level or another much of the American Jewish community at the time, the effects of that, of having been nitzkar, having been remembered, these reverberated to us in our society. They give us, for our part, further impetus that we too should be mindful.
That we too!
The sensitive, well, I hope, of commitment to our membership, our organic relation. This is perhaps far from what the committed traditional Jews want. But it's, to my mind, the great thing. The chilat, the awareness not simply of being confronted by a molek, but of being bound to death destroyed. This is a tremendous moment. There is finally here, I address myself perhaps more specifically to an American group. There is finally a third issue. Not just to be Zeche Amolek, and not just to be Zeche Knesset Yisrael, but to remember something. Mishnah in Sukkot, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, tell us that Yochanan and Zakkai introduced certain takanos, certain innovations in halacha, as a mode of making more vivid the sense of remembering Mikdash, Zecher LaMikdash. So, for instance, if we say Reise, the halacha was that lulav would only be taken outside of the Hamikdash on the first day, whereas in the Beis Hamikdash, the temple, it will be taken for 7 days, as the Torah describes. Yochanan and Zakkai came along after whom, after the destruction of the temple, and described the Jews for. That even outside Mikdash, wherever one might be, that lulav be taken for second. This remembrance of Mikdash, remembering here not the destruction of the Mikdash, that was remembered at Shabbat, remembering the past, but relating to the glory of Mikdash that existed, and as we long to see it exist, relating not only to the past, but to a prospect to the future. This, the Gemara tells us, is based upon a pasuk. When we know and ask the Gemara that we know Zecher LaMikdash, how do we know that one is supposed to remember Mikdash? Shenemah, for it is written, Sion, not only Mikdash, but Yerushalayim generally, Sion li doresh eino, possibly men, Zion, unsought. Doresh eino. Michlal, the inference is, the voyager that one is supposed to remember. Now, what is the remembrance in which the Gemara speaks of? Recall in the starting sense what used to transpire at the time of the Mikdash was built. Just to reconstruct that. Gemara quotes a pasuk in which the verb not simply zoche, but dovesh, one who seeks, who yearns, who longs, who sets out on a quest for tzia, who misses it. Evidently, the chiro of himself, the chiro of tzia, and by extension, the chiro of Eretz Yisrael, not just historical consciousness, not even purely existential consciousness, a perception of the present. The chile of Mikdash Tzion and Eretz Yisrael is drishin, the long, the hope, the yearning. One can express the hope, send the tchiva of remembrance with which we are enjoined as Jews and filled. This sense finds expression not only in that terrible feeling of enmity, which our reality finds thrust upon us, and not only important it is in the sensitivity, the empathy for Klal Yisrael, crucial in every sense, that is to our collective existence. We need to feel that there, and certainly we need to feel it here. But beyond this, we need to be so likewise. Sense of the chila, of remembering, if you will, something which lies yet in the future. In dovish, seeking, yearning, dreaming, feel of Nita by our.
Our guest, and since then his parents had to take the call. We have a lot of people who have lost the call. I think it would be that prevailed a certain hesitation that we are going. I do hope that some people will get moving in the summer. I'm beginning to see, as you say, the beginning of an end of a era. The people really did not go to Israel as much as they should. But I am very delighted in a sense of pride that there are a lot of young people in this community and many other Jewish communities who are very anxious and very involved in educational institutions in Israel. We have quite a number who are there. As you know, that we are very much a part of this civil program. We have some parents here around this evening. But more than anything else, I think that if you have a question or an important question, although I think that our guest is really tired, and I imposed upon him coming here, he's leaving tomorrow night for Israel. And I really have imposed upon him, actually, that I asked him. And I wouldn't let it go. I know that he had a very, very tough schedule speaking and elsewhere. But there are a few moments that there are very minor questions that somebody wants to particularly about the situation which is concerned all of us. You surely have to listen. Yes, sir.
Can I listen? Would you give us a sense for how a yeshiva like yours and rabbis like yourself in Israel relate to the Rabbanut generally? Because there's a feeling there that Rabbanim are from a European country, that the Rabbanim are of a different sense. There was a kind of concern that the Rabbanim that are coming into Rabbanut generally don't have a secular background in Israel. I was wondering if you feel like your own relation to that.
I think that in many cases the ministry gathering between Rabbanim and the general populace. This has to do in part with the fact that you mentioned, the fact that by and large a good many of them don't have a secular background, which I'm not that you want to be secularist, but to give them a clearer perspective of the nature of the community in which they deal, sometimes is a result of having been out of contact with the broader community, quite apart from the nature of the education which they receive. This, I think, is clearly a problem. There are, I don't want to convey the wrong picture, there are a great many very highly dedicated people in the Rabbanut of Israel. The problem in many cases is simply that dedication sometimes is not enough. One needs not only to be dedicated, but also to be perceptive in relation to the overall situation. And that combination of dedication and sensitivity to what's going on, at present, I think, is altogether too rare. There are significant exceptions, certainly, a lot of people in it. But it is certainly a welcome to gather an area where this community as a whole needs to do a great deal. An area which